All right, we're starting in Philippians chapter 1, picking up where we left off last week, around verse 27. Okay, whereas the Apostle Paul, again, is helping the saints to understand the temperament, okay, of these kingdoms, okay, and that which false knowledge does, and that which the holy knowledge does. Okay, again, false knowledge, again, is packaged in such a form, okay, as to deceive the mind, but the soul cannot feast on this, and neither can the conscience be purged by false knowledge. But we know the truth of God is given unto us in order to produce faith within the heart. Okay? And by this temperament, we can continually conserve God, building his kingdom. Now, in verse 27, as again, Philippians 1, around verse 27, the Apostle Paul talks about this when he says, "Only let your conversation be as becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So highlight the word "the faith" there, okay, in verse 27, "the faith," as you also see the word "faith" in verse 25. Now the Apostle Paul is making distinction for us and helping us to understand, okay, the temperament of these kingdoms. Now, the word "the faith" has to do with the doctrine of your persuasion. Okay, the doctrine of your persuasion, which has to do with the accumulation of facts, being this holy knowledge, which is called truth. Okay, and truth are facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. And we'll see this played out here as we talk about the character of God and our behavior. Okay, and the word "faith," we see the three manifestations: faith, gift of faith, and the faith. Okay, so the gift of faith, okay, is where the Spirit of the Lord supernaturally sustains you in the most adverse circumstances, as Daniel being cast into the den of lions, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay, in the burning fiery furnace, okay, or as concerning Abraham's journey, okay, from Haran, okay, leaving his father's house and going to the land which God appointed to him, okay, or as concerning the faith of the apostles, okay, whereas Jesus made certain distinctions for them, okay, in order for them to reciprocate the knowledge which he was speaking to them, as when he said to Peter, "Come out, you know, come to me," okay, concerning getting out of the boat and walking to Jesus. Okay, so we see the faith, which is the fruit of faith, and the gift of faith, okay, manifested. Now the apostles asked Jesus concerning, "Lord, increase our faith," okay, and that was bringing it from that which is fruit bearing, okay, and the fruit of faith is that which is nurtured through your cycles of growth, okay, and the challenges of your choices daily, okay, as the gift of faith. Okay, because we can see different manifestations of this, okay, and the temperaments of it, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, "Though I have all faith, so I can move mountains." Okay, now when he says all faith, he's talking about the gift of faith. Okay, the gift of faith. "Even though I have the gift of faith to remove mountains and have that charity." Now he's not talking about the fruit of faith, because the fruit of faith, okay, brings that temperament of equity within the soul, okay, and circumcises your perception, okay, and dictates to your behavior in the courts of the Lord. That's that joy of faith which Paul is speaking of here in verse 25. Okay, that I'm the furtherance and joy of faith. Okay, that your behavior, you see, is that with which becomes a king or a saint in the courts of the Lord, seeing that he is our advocate. Okay, so our act of Jesus Christ, okay, is teaching us, okay, concerning proper protocol in the courts of the Lord. Okay, this is the behavior of our faith, the joy of faith. All right. So in verse 27, he talks about the faith, okay, which would be good to highlight that, talking about the doctrine of our persuasion. So he calls it this, for the faith of the gospel. So, in reading that again, he says, "Only let your conversation as your manner of life and your behavior be as that of the rhythm of the Spirit, Okay, the rhythm of the spirit has to do with it is taking you, okay, outside of that which is of nature, okay, or the natural rhythm of your own signature. Okay, so when he says becometh the gospel, he's talking about the rhythm of the spirit. Okay, as the our faith is not ordered according to instinct, the instinct of man, okay, or the signature of man, or the moral code of man. Okay, which things work death. Because the moral code is attached to flesh, the flesh is attached to Satan's kingdom. Okay, and Satan is the oath of the flesh. Okay, all Adamites, they're not joined to the oath of the Lord by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, their conversation is ordered according to a different perspective, a different temperament, okay, which has to do with envy and strife and bitterness and sedition and variance and hearsay and emulation. And false doctrine and all hypocrisy and mischief, okay, of that kingdom or temperament of Satan's kingdom. Okay, and this does not become the saints of the Lord. Okay, but that but that's the behavior, okay, of that of the kingdom of Satan. Okay, Satan's wiles are concealed within that particular behavior, because that particular behavior of Satan's perception seems so right to the disposition, okay, of the moral code. Because the moral code in itself, when we say moral code, we're talking about as concerning the mysteries of iniquity, okay, and which the Apostle Paul also brings out in Romans chapter 2, okay, concerning the secrets of the heart. Okay, the secrets are the concealment. That's why we call it the moral code. It's the concealment, okay, of one's behavior, okay, which is to dictate. Okay, that was given to Adam, okay, in order to dictate his behavior within this dimension. Okay, and Satan, taking advantage of that, concealed himself within that perception. Okay, so that Adamites, thinking that the pursuit of closure through through their own principle, okay, or seeking closure through the aspiration has to do, okay, as concerning the pride of life. Okay, the pride of life. Now the Apostle John brings that same thing out in 1 John chapter 2. Okay, for all that is in the world, concealed in that moral code. He's not talking about the atmosphere, but he's talking about as concerning that which is within the heart. Okay, the system of this age. Okay, whereas Satan rules over. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, okay, which has to do with that emotional security, the lust of the eyes, the intellectual prowess, okay, and the pride of life, which has to do with that aspiration, the pursuit of control, to dominate, to destroy, to set order, for increase, and for one's pleasure. Okay, as those things which are put within that moral code, okay, which the God code works with, okay, the God code works with that, okay, but not in righteousness. The God code, which is the design of God's likeness, okay, which is also called the protoplasm of God. Now Adam was in that light, the protoplasm of God, okay, when he was before his fall, okay, he was within that, okay, that environment of light, okay, whereas he had no need, no languishing, no desire for food, no desire for drink, okay, and no languishing or moving about. Because the angels of the Lord were in service to Adam, okay, as concerning doxologies and liturgy, okay, as the heavens were open all that time when Adam was in that light and he was conversing with the angels of God. Okay, so now let's go back in verse 27. Only let your conversation and your manner of life be in this rhythm, that is the rhythm of the Spirit, which this knowledge dictates, the knowledge of God, the holy knowledge. So when we say the gospel of Christ, we're not talking about that which addresses the issues and relationships of man. Now, it was the Apostle Paul that made distinction between these two gospels. Okay, the gospel of the sand people, okay, is the gospel according to the flesh. Okay, that which was Adam's design and frame, okay, but not God's likeness, which was Adam's light, or God's light, which encircled Adam. Okay. So the Apostle Paul makes these distinctions also in the book of Galatians. Okay, when he's that if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So the gospel which I preached unto you, Paul said, is not after man, the sand people. That has to do with resourcing the knowledge of this gospel in order to try to settle the agitation of the conscience and also to bring some equity to the scales of one's moral code. Okay, so they're resourcing this knowledge to wrestle with the relations and issues of this life, okay, which we can see preached every day, okay, as you watch Christian television, okay, or these broadcasts, okay, which the gospel which they are preaching, okay, is the projection, okay, of one's state of being, okay, but as you notice that all these things are severed from the covenant of Christ, okay. Now, being severed from the covenant of Christ, it takes on a whole different temperament. It takes on a whole form of aggression all on its own in order to try to set order to your circumstances of life, but apart from covenant. Never at any time do we see the apostles resourcing the knowledge of God for the purpose of trying to establish an equity of circumstances. As we see, Paul was shipwrecked. Whereas he gives his testimony, of the struggles and cycles of his own growth. We were appointed to suffer with him that we may reign with him. If we were appointed to suffer with him, that has to do with this particular temperament. Now, we'll be reading about that in chapter 2 when we come to that point. Being in the form of God, and also in the form of man. So this particular temperament, the false gospel, is to try to wrestle a certain form of closure or equity with the conscience and soul. But these are contrary to each other. So the Adamites, those outside of covenant, are continually on a journey of trying to set order to their life. Whereas the order, which the apostles are preaching, and that fruit of the Spirit, it has to do with the covenant. The covenant. As you walk in covenant with God, the faith of God, faith being within your heart, faith born within your heart, will set equity in all the temperament of your soul. It will set equity in all these things. But you have to allow time for the seed to take root within you, and not pluck it up, out of despair, or indifference. But continue to choose faith. That means walking in your priesthood. So the covenant which the Apostle Paul is speaking of right here, concerning the faith and our behavior to that, is always in conjunction with the covenant, not separate from that. If it's separate from that, then our works become works of debt, as the Apostle Paul brings out. But if it's in conjunction with the covenant, in your priesthood being joined to that, then these things, then these works are acceptable unto God. So the works of faith, are those things which God has assigned for us to labor with. So we labor to enter into our rest. There's a laboring for rest, and the rest has to do with the settling of the conscience, that the conscience will not be agitated, because of the knowledge of this world. Now this is what Jesus said to his apostles. He says, "I pray that you take them not out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil." Now, that's the same thing God said to Abraham when he said to Abraham, "Fear not, Abraham, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." I am your shield. Now, why would God use such language in explaining certain things to Abraham? Because he says, "I'm your shield." That means I am your point of contact, which will remove these influences from you, the influences of the false knowledge of this world. Whereas Satan can conceal himself within the knowledge of this world, because it works with the fallen nature of man. The knowledge of this world works with the fallen nature of man. The knowledge of God works with those that are as risen from the dead, walking in newness of life. The knowledge of God works with those as those which are risen from the dead, that we're no longer walking according to the course of this world or the princes of this world, which works in the children of disobedience. That's the language that Paul brings out there in Ephesians. It's concerning work which works now in the children of disobedience. But now we are walking as those that are risen from the dead. Okay? So he says, same thing, among whom also we all had our conversation times past. Now I just jumped over to Ephesians there for a moment, and that's in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Okay, chapter 2 in Ephesians, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the according to this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation. There's the word conversation again, which I was bringing out, and this is what Paul is saying here to the Philippians. Okay, only let your conversation now be as it becomes the gospel, not that which is in rhythm with your own signature, not that which is in rhythm with the moral code, not that which is in rhythm according to the ages of this time, the age of the impious. Okay, but our conversation and manner of life and our behavior is that which is of the rhythm of spirit, which is faith. Okay, our faith is expressed through the tools which he provided for us, as he says, but it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Now, the word affairs there has to do with that your activity, the assembly, that your activity in the assembly, okay, will continually show forth the knowledge of Christ. Okay, that the purpose of the assembly, the gathering together, okay, is not to resolve the issues, okay, of the affairs of this life, okay, not the political issues, not the relationships, not the circumstances of life, okay, concerning the assembling of the saints, okay. So he says here, that I may hear of your affairs. Now, your affairs are as this, that you stand fast. Okay, so you're standing fast, which means you're walking uprightly. So underline the word stand there in verse 27, okay, which means he says that you're not crawling fast, but you're standing fast, not crawling fast, not walking on all fours as a beast, okay, but standing and walking uprightly as one that's been illuminated. Okay, that you're not as the ox or as the horse, which needs a bridle, okay, or a yoke in order for it to be directed. Okay, but we're walking uprightly, okay, as one that's been illuminated. Okay, so that you're now walking uprightly, not crawling as an animal or wiggling in the sand as the serpent. That you stand fast. Okay, this is your mark, this place of confidence. Okay, the place of confidence is that of the spirit, okay, which is faith. That you stand fast in one spirit. Okay, that you're now tethered to his oath. Okay, stand fast in the spirit. That we're walking uprightly because... All right, well, let's go back here to verse 27. Okay, that I may hear of your affairs. Okay, we talked about that as concerning the activity of your assemblies. Okay, the activity of your assemblies, when you gather together... Okay, this is as we're walking uprightly, okay, that we're not taken to the altar as a beast, but we're standing before the altar as one that's been appointed by God. Okay, so we're walking uprightly. Okay, being tethered to the oath, we're standing fast in one spirit. Because we're standing fast in one spirit, now we're with one mind. Okay, our perception is now according to his wisdom, his knowledge, and his understanding. Now, wisdom and knowledge and understanding, okay, is the mind of Christ. The wisdom of God gives direction to our activity of faith. Okay, the knowledge of God has to do with the accumulation of facts, which has to do with your study of doctrine. Okay, so your accumulation of knowledge, it's not just any kind of knowledge, but it's holy knowledge. It's a study of these facts. Okay, our responsibility to covenant. Now, understanding has to do with setting order to this knowledge. that this knowledge does not confound you, okay, but that your understanding now, the understanding has to do with setting order to one's knowledge, setting order to facts. Okay, so now we're our assembly is being identified here as a place of those which are illuminated, okay, tethered to the oath of the Lord, our behavior in the courts of the Lord, okay, is offering these sacrifices, okay, and these sacrifices bring remedy and healing to the soul, okay, to your soul and to those who hear. Okay, because these things are spoken for the purpose of birthing faith in the heart, okay, and increasing one's faith. Okay, as the apostles asked Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Now, the apostle Paul is teaching us how this is increased, okay, as you stand fast in one spirit, okay, with one mind, okay, under your perception, striving together. Now, the word striving right here is in a positive sense. Okay. The word strife can be put in a negative sense. Okay, when it's with a moral code, it's negative. But if it's with faith, it's positive. Okay, the same thing with covetousness, or to covet. Okay, the we are to covet spiritual things. Okay, but if our coveting is birthed from the moral code, then it's evil. Okay, if our coveting is of the moral code, then it's evil. But if our coveting is of faith, then it's good. Okay, same thing with lust. Okay, lust. Okay, if it's as of the moral code, okay, can work destruction. But if lust is in that of the faith, being lust of faith, okay, then it's in a positive. Okay, that we're not to lust after evil things, nor covet after things of this world. Okay, but we're to pursue, okay, and embrace those things which are from heaven. Okay, those things which are of his throne. Okay. That you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together. It's the word striving right there. Yeah, this is where the God code is driving you with this persuasion. Okay, the God code is driving you with this persuasion, for this persuasion of unity by this knowledge, striving together. So the God code is driving this persuasion in you, because you already been standing fast in one mind and one spirit. So we see the God code is playing itself out for increase, for order in increase. Okay, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Okay, so the unity is by this knowledge which we're all building with. So we're all using the same tools, okay, using the same kind of elements, okay, the building of one wall, one temple, okay, one temple in the Lord. Okay. Now, if we take this knowledge in a different direction, then we begin to build a shrine into our own honor. Okay, which means if you're taking stones which have been assigned to build the temple of God, to build your own shrine with that, okay, now that shrine which you're building has to do with the moral code. Okay, that you're trying to build a form of holiness, righteousness, justification, apart from that, which God has sanctified. Okay, so if you take that which is holy and touch unclean things with it, then that which is holy becomes contaminated and becomes unclean. Okay, you see this played out in the book of Haggai. Okay, or as concerning that which is, if one bears holy flesh in a skirt and yet touches something that's unclean, is the flesh in a skirt still holy? And of course, no, it's not. It is considered as unclean. Okay, so you can't take stones from the altar or from the wall of the temple of the Lord, okay, and begin to construct your own form of theology. Because if once you take that which is holy and construct that which is of your own aspiration, now it's contaminated. The whole is evil. Okay, so because you're walking independently, okay, of you're not in one mind any longer, okay, but rather being instead of one mind, okay, and as concerning the kingdom of God, okay, you're now severed from the mind of Christ, okay, because you take on your own perspective. You want to own your own logic and stand in your own self-determination, okay, which is darkness. This is the same thing the Apostle John brings out. Okay, he that says he loves his brother but walks in darkness, he is a liar. Okay, he that says, I love God and hates his brother is a liar, okay, and the truth of God is not in him. Okay, in other words, another way to say that is that their perspective is not by the record of God, which he sanctified, but by the record of one's own moral code. Okay, the record of one's own moral code is not that which God sanctified for salvation, because if it was, then we automatically would be saved. Okay, the whole world would be saved, okay, apart from the covenant. Okay, but our salvation is in connection to the covenant, not severed from it. The same thing, all the promises of God are in him, which is in covenant, not apart from him. Okay, and we see the sand people are trying to achieve the promises of God apart from covenant. They talk about the promises of God in Deuteronomy. They talk about the promises of God as concerning the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, they make selections of Scripture, okay, of the Gospels, and make application to their own aspiration. They take a Scripture and apply it to the aspiration. This is what the children of Israel did when they came out of Egypt. This is what Satan did when he was tempting Jesus. Okay, Satan tempted Jesus by selecting a portion of Scripture and making application with a promise of an outcome. Okay, cast yourself down from here, from this pinnacle, okay, and prove God's love for you, okay, by adventuring yourself to challenge God. Okay, it's not for flesh to challenge the spirit. It's the flesh to submit himself to the spirit. And we'll be reading about that in chapter 2. Okay, as concerning flesh is not to challenge the spirit. Flesh is to submit to the spirit, not to challenge it. Okay, and Satan was selecting scripture to challenge Jesus into his aspirations. Okay, but Jesus remained restricted to faith. And he said this, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I am restricted to the grace of God. Okay, and being restricted to the grace of God, I am free from aspiration, including yours, Satan. Okay, you're trying to cause me to enter your aspiration to achieve the goals of life. That's the temptation which the world is under today. Okay, they're under the shadow of that temptation. They're under Satan's shadow. Okay, and being under Satan's shadow, they're trying to resolve world problems, economics, social, and political issues under Satan's dominion. Okay, and God will only send mischiefs upon that mindset. And every time Adam thinks that he's achieving equity, okay, through his policy, law, or money, okay, God will send a mischief, okay, in order to disrupt, okay, the resolving of their endeavors. Okay, so that every aspiration requires blood. And we're going to see that in the book of Revelation, that everything that Adam tried to aspire to resolve will be stopped by God. He says, because God said, I'm the resolver of your problems. I created you for my pleasure. I created you for the purpose of servicing my throne. Okay, and the inheritance would be for those of faith. But when you try to resolve your own problems apart from covenant, you set yourself into a position of judgments. Now, Satan knows this. And as long as Satan keeps the minds of his slaves trying to resolve their problems by moral code with moral code, flesh with flesh, aspiration with aspiration, and principle against principle, okay, they always come to results of shedding blood. Okay. But when they turn to God, then I'll bring peace in your land. I'll bring equity of weather and not floods and nor famine. Okay, I'll bring equity in increase, and I'll remove mildew and frost and hail and fire. Okay, I'll bring equity in even your social life. Okay, as concerning there'll be no riot and no inequity of race. Okay? But there'll be perfect equity in all things. But as long as Adam tries to achieve these things through the moral code, okay, God has assigned those to his wrath. And Satan, knowing this, plays tricks in the mind, thinking that religion itself resolves world issues, and it doesn't. That politics resolve world issues, and it won't. Okay, or addressing the global warming, okay, will bring about world peace, and it will not do that either. Okay, it's the faith of the righteous that brings equity, because God restores equity for the blessing of the righteous. Okay, so nothing terrified by your adversaries. He says there in verse 28. That means nothing terrified by your adversaries. Let me read the verse here, and then I'll go back. And nothing terrified by your adversaries. See, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, that of God, okay, which I was just speaking of here earlier. Okay, so in nothing terrified has to do that resisting the troubling of the soul by the false knowledge spoken by false ministers. Okay, and which is this discernment. This discernment is now an evident token and temperament, okay, to the righteous, okay, because we can see, okay, that those which follow the temperament of the kingdom of darkness, okay, we have now discernment, and we don't enter into their disillusionment. So in nothing terrified, okay, nothing terrified. So we are in resisting the troubling of the soul by false knowledge spoken by false ministers, okay. This discernment is an evident temperament of their perdition and their disillusionment, which God has assigned to them. But for you, this works for your salvation, and it works for your growth, because you're born of His Spirit, which He brought out earlier. Whereas He said here that you stand fast in one Spirit. So the things which God has assigned for our growth, okay, it's troubling to the sinner, okay, but growth for the righteous. Troubling to the sinner, but growth of the righteous. The knowledge which God has issued for us, okay, continually challenges the conscience for faith, and that our conscience being pure is rewarded with a temperament of his equity. Fruit of the Spirit. That's another way of saying that. Fruit of the Spirit. Temperament of equity, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Okay, all these are the results, okay, of this engagement. Okay, faith, okay, faith is that door, initiating factor, whereas charity is a distributing factor. Okay, faith and charity work together. Okay, so faith is the initiating factor, as charity is the distributing factor of all these other virtues within the heart. Okay, so that we don't have to lean one way or the other way, okay, to the right hand or to the left. We don't have to lean one way or the other way in order to bring closure to the soul, because this is automatically granted with faith. Okay, this is your joy of faith, as he talks about in verse 25. All right, now verse 29. Now, for you it is given in the behalf of Christ, which has to do with this pattern, for you. This pattern has been assigned to you. Okay, for you it is given in the behalf of Christ. So this pattern is assigned to us to behold Christ and to see Christ as we grow. As you grow, the more you begin to know. Okay, the more you experience, okay, through the impact of the work of regeneration, the understanding is increased and broadened. Okay, so that your whole experience of Christ doesn't center on one verse of the Bible, John 3:16. Okay, John 3:16 and a promise of being a better person. Okay, that's the false religious system. Okay, they continue to build a relationship by promise, and it's not. A relationship is not built by promise; it's built by faith. Okay, and that has to be in covenant. Okay, so as Satan promised Adam, okay, as concerning receiving the powers of ascendancy, that you can be as a god, okay, as you can be as God himself, okay, if you engage yourself with these physical things, okay, and that's the same temptation that faces every individual today, that people are trying to, intrude into the mysteries of Christ with physical things, the carnal mind. You can't do that. Okay, you can't. The flesh is not the key to the spirit. Okay, the flesh is not the key to the spirit. The moral code is not the key to open the treasures of his wisdom and knowledge. Faith is. It's the things of the spirit that we behold the things of the spirit. For he that is spiritual discerns all things, as Paul said. But yet he himself is discerned of no man. Okay, because you cannot measure things by the eye of flesh. We can measure things by the things of the Spirit. By the eye of Christ, we can measure things of the Spirit. Okay, and that's what Paul is bringing out, which I brought out earlier, concerning the adversaries. The adversaries, those which are enemies of righteousness, do not view themselves as being hostile towards God. Okay, they view themselves as a champions of their traditions, okay, as champions of their denomination, or the champion of their own particular religious persuasion. Okay, that's not the mind of Christ, because the mind of Christ is faith of covenant. Okay, now we'll go on here. So these things work for our salvation. For unto you, as this pattern is given in the behalf of Christ, okay, that we grow by this determined pattern, not only to believe on him, it says not just to accept this holy oath, but also to overcome all evil. So, but also to suffer for his sake, for increase of kingdom. Okay? But also to suffer for his sake. So you might want to hide the word suffer there. Okay, the word, again, suffering has to do with the chastening of the Lord for your behavior in the court. Okay, the chastening of the Lord for your behavior in the court. Okay, now, grace and truth is given to us, okay, in order to teach us our responsibilities as concerning the boundaries which remain within. These are the restrictions of grace and truth. The boundaries which remain within for our faith to be accepted to God. Okay, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, okay, which as we grow, that we see this pattern assigned to us. So God gave this pattern so that we continually behold the face of the Lord, and by holding the face of the Lord, we grow. Not only to believe on him, as to accept this oath of his, but also to suffer, to overcome all evil for his sake. That's for the sake and increase of his kingdom. Now verse 30 goes on, having the same conflict, okay, as Paul saying, we all possess this contradiction. Okay, God put the contradiction right within us. Okay, the contradiction of the soul and the spirit. Okay, these are the two natures of man. Man possesses two natures, that which is his thought life and that which is his feelings. Okay, these are the two natures of man. Now the animal kingdom doesn't possess that. You never see an animal going to a psychiatrist to try to resolve their feelings, okay, or try to resolve the perspectives of life, or to resolve exactly why are they this way. A dog never doesn't go to a dog psychiatrist and says, why do I bark? Okay, why do I desire a bone? Okay, why do I pursue to dig holes? Okay, so the psychiatrist, you know, they don't go to a psychiatrist. Okay, but Adamites go to psychiatrists because they say, why do I feel this way? Why do I think this way? And why do I do these things? Okay, and the psychiatrist, the only access he has is concerning that which is common to man. The Apostle Paul says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Okay, that which owns to their own struggles, their feelings, and their own intellect. Okay, and that's what the Apostle John said again. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, these are conflicted with God's kingdom. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. Okay, that's not the mindset and behavior of his throne, but is of the world. This is the mindset and behavior of Satan's kingdom. Okay? These are the conflictive natures which exist within man. But when you get to the point of faith, then there's neither male nor female. Okay? When you get to that point of faith, okay, as the conscience is clear because of faith. Okay? Clearing the conscience doesn't mean just resolving your offenses. Okay? And this is what, when people partake of physical communion, they are trying to resolve these conflicts within themselves. Did I offend throughout the day, or did I offend throughout the week or the year? Okay, so they reflect upon iniquity unto iniquity. They try to present frailty in the form of faith, but frailty is not faith. Frailty is frailty. Frailty is a weakness of the moral code. Okay, and being in the weakness of the moral code, how can you offer a sacrifice acceptable to God? Okay, with a moral code, you can't. Our sacrifices are acceptable unto God only because of Jesus Christ. That means you have to have your vessel full of faith. Now, when a vessel is full of faith, then your sacrifices are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, but as long as you're working with a moral code, okay, then there's a struggling of the conscience. Okay, and to the sinner, a pure conscience, which means I feel right about myself. So when a person feels right about themselves, then they take the bread and the wine, okay, and they drink of it, but they're drinking damnation to themselves, okay, because they're reflecting upon their frailty, okay, and by doing that, they're partaking of carnal things, okay. These people then receive judgments according to their choices, okay, which has to do with weakness, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out, weakness, sick, and many die because of that, okay. God's wrath is upon, okay, the moral code. Because Satan is concealed within that, and the moral code bears Satan's face, but our faith bears the image of Christ. Okay, because we have Christ in our foreheads. You see this in the book of Revelation. Okay, because they have because God is sealed, has put his seal within our forehead, which is the image of Christ, which has to do with a vessel of faith. Okay, which has to do with a conscience that's mirroring the bosom of the Father. Okay, a conscience which is mirroring the pureness of God. Okay, and that's what faith does. That is, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is. That means that he's the pattern. Okay, not a beast, not flesh, not wine. As the Apostle Paul said, touch not, taste not, handle not, which shall perish with the using. Anything that's marked by time or springs of the soil is accursed of God. Okay. So when we come to him, we come with him with a pure conscience, with a heart full of faith. So here he says about the word conflict in verse 30. So highlight the word conflict, which has to, this contradiction does exist within us. Okay, but God when God assigned this to us, it wasn't because he was being angry with us. He was assigning this to us for the purpose of, you could say, it's a form of, it's like reins, okay, like putting reins on a yoke on an ox, okay, or a bridle on a horse's mouth. Okay, these are the reins of the heart, okay, which the psalmist writes about, okay, that God has his reins upon my heart. Okay, this law God has assigned to us, this law of faith and grace, God has assigned to us in order to direct us in, okay, the paths of uprightness, righteousness, faith, justification. Now in chapter 2, okay, even though I'm in these present circumstances, look, he says, this God purifies the conscience. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, this is chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, as the purifying of the conscience to behold him. Okay, so we behold him with open face. A conscience that is free from the moral code, okay, is that vessel which is full of faith. Okay, but if when the vessel is absent of faith, okay, then the appetites are always inclined to covetousness of earthly things. Okay, a vessel that's void of faith, it's full of these things of this world. Okay, so if you want to free yourself from covetousness of evil things, okay, then you have to exercise your will with this knowledge, okay, and accept the fact that God has received these things because of your faith, which the Apostle John brings out in 1 John chapter 5. And this is a confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Okay. All right. And of course, the verse before that explains more of what it means. Okay, as concerning our confidence before him, our confidence is not built within a moral code. Okay, our confidence is not built because of church membership, tithing, Sabbath day observation, or any kind of physical communion or physical baptisms. Okay, our confidence does not lie in tradition of men, but in the power of God. Okay, our confidence lies in God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Okay, now man's wisdom does have a so-called fleshly display to it, okay, which Paul brings out in Colossians. Okay, man's wisdom does have fleshly display. It attracts the attention of the aspiration of those which want to aspire to its likeness. Not the likeness of God, see, but the likeness of that flattery or fantasy or finance of this world. Okay? These are those whose minds are blind by the prince of the powers of the air. Okay? Because they're ordering their behavior and conversation, okay, according to Satan's influence. Those who have their behavior ordered according to Satan's influence will hate faith, will hate truth, will hate righteousness. The hate, which means to rival, to justify against, okay, as to rival, to justify against, or to try to emulate. Okay, it will try to emulate faith with carnal things. Okay, it will try to emulate charity with carnal things. It will try to emulate fruit with carnal pursuit, okay, which has to do with money, has to do with, you could say, influence, the money and influence of other people. Okay, it does not dictate the fruit of faith. Okay, that doesn't mean that it's the result of those things, not the fruit of faith. So we can see how easily Satan can assimilate or emulate, okay, the things of righteousness without possessing the power of it. Okay, which they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. They're not working with the tools, the power tools of the covenant. Okay, their priesthood is not the priesthood of clean white linen. Well, their priesthood is the adornment of the of scarlet and purple. Okay, now you see that in the book of Revelation. Okay, that the priesthood of the woman, called the harlot, or the mystery Babylon, okay, her vestments of priesthood are similar, okay, but, okay, her vestments, her phylactery is fornication. The flax tree on her forehead is fornication. Okay, and her vestments, they are vestments of contamination. Okay, being of scarlet and purple are her vestments. And she sits upon the beast. Okay, she sits, which means sitting upon the beast has to do with that. The things of her sacrifices, okay, or those things of her aspiration. Okay, that's why the Lord in the Old Covenant told the children of Israel that they're to sacrifice the beast. They're to sacrifice those, all those which are firstborn beasts. Okay, having never had a yoke put upon them, okay, which the mother of harlots sits upon the woman as a yoke, okay, which is a defiled. All their sacrifices are defiled. Okay, the sacrifices of the righteous, those whose vestments, they are clothing, okay, has to do with pure white linen. Okay, that's the same adornment the holy city is in. The city is adorned in white holy garments, which is the righteousness of the saints. Okay, those are the things of our sacrifices. Those are the things of our standing. Okay, we stand in his righteousness at the foot of his altar, which is Jesus Christ. So if there be therefore any consolation of Christ, and we got all that, just all that verse 1 there, chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, consolation is in Christ now, as a conscience to behold him, if any comfort of love, and we talked about that earlier concerning charity, if any fellowship of the Spirit, now the word fellowship, you might want to highlight these three things here. Consolation, comfort, and fellowship. He talks about, and also the word Christ, love, and spirit. Consolation, comfort, fellowship. Now, all these things indicate a form of exchange and communion and touching. Okay, consolation, comfort, fellowship. Okay, identify a form of exchange, touching, and exchange. Fellowship has to do with an exchanging of substance. And this exchanging of substance is a result of your faith. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, he says, now fulfill you my joy. Because my prayers are seen in this your fruit. Fulfill you my joy. My prayers are seen in this your fruit. That you are like-minded. That you be like-minded. You are like-minded. That means you have the same temperament. Okay, all of us are behaving as sons of God in the courts of our Lord. Okay, that's why he's our advocate, because we're keeping his commandments. Okay? If we keep his commandments, then we have propitiation for sin. But if you're not in keeping of his commandments, there's no propitiation for sin, and your behavior in the court, okay, is like a undisciplined child at home. Okay, they just want to do what they want to do. Okay, whatever feels right to themselves, whatever mindset. Okay, that they want to adopt, okay, is how they're going to play it out. They're going to play out what they feel. They're going to play out what they think. Okay, they want to, because the undisciplined child wants to have self-determination, okay, for domination. Self-determination for domination. They control through self-determination. But that's not the mind of Christ. Okay, that's the prince of this world. Okay? That's why we have to be re-educated. We can't take the mindset of Satan into the temple of Christ, because it won't work together. As Paul said, what concord has Belial with Christ? Or what fellowship is light with darkness? Okay, there's none. There is no fellowship, there's no billing, there's no communion, there's no exchange. Okay, Jesus doesn't make deals with the devil, because he's God. Okay, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded. We have to study to be like-minded. We have to make application to learn. Okay, these things are not engaged through osmosis. They're engaged through application. The false religious system feels that their self-determination has been dictated to them by the Holy Ghost. Okay, because they feel that the Holy Ghost is teaching them all these perceptions and behavior. But it's not. The Holy Ghost teaches us to love one another. That's what Paul said. Okay, as you have been taught by the Holy Ghost, as to love one another. Okay, and we love one another through the exchanging of substance, through the communion of the Holy Ghost, the fellowship of the Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost does not teach dissension. The Holy Ghost does not teach strife. The Holy Ghost does not need to use envy, emulation, or strife in order to try to achieve a goal. But it uses, the Holy Ghost uses grace and truth. The Holy Ghost uses everything as Jesus said. All right, all things that I have spoken unto you, he will do. Okay? All things I have spoken unto you, he will do. Now, howbeit, when a comforter has come, he will bring all things to remembrance. This is what Paul or what Jesus was telling to his apostles. Okay, he wasn't speaking this in a generic sense or in a common sense. He was speaking this specifically to those who he has been nurturing and grooming for that position. Okay, and when we take something that was specifically spoken to an individual and try to make it generic or common to everybody, then you just defile the knowledge. Okay, so he says, so Jesus, speaking to his apostles, spoke to them in that manner, saying, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore he shall take of mine and shall give it to you. Okay? This is the proper procedure. Okay? As concerning the building. Okay? The building, your joy, okay? Your fruit, all these things. Okay, come through this rhythm and pattern. So fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same mind, of one accord, of one mind. And there he says it again, of one mind. Okay. So the Holy Ghost does not speak generically. The Holy Spirit speaks specifically, and that's always in connection to government, truth, and spirit. Okay. It's always with the pattern being the record of Christ. Okay, the pattern, revelation, resistance, and reward, but the record of Christ is concerning our faith. Okay. So fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded. Okay. All right, having the same temperament, having the same love, charity, being of one accord in the assembly, of one mind, okay, and study of doctrine. And that's how we're to love God and love our neighbors ourselves. Remember, the Lord said that. Okay. What are the two great commandments? It was asked Jesus. He says, well, you know what they are. These are the two commandments. You shall love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, which means the perspective of all these things, the law and the prophets, is always engaged with God. Okay, building. It's always tethered to him. Okay, so we're to love God with all of our heart, which has to do with a heart full of faith. Our soul, which has to do with the will to serve. With all our mind, which is the study of doctrine. And with all of our strength, which has to do with the proper sacrifices. And that's what we're going to get ready to do here in a moment, is offer the proper sacrifices with a heart full of faith. Okay, so that with a heart full of faith, it brings healing and remedy, okay, to the spirit, soul, and body. So let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, which is the humble of grace. Let each esteem other better than themselves, not to rival. Now, what Paul's saying right here is that you're not achieving things with the aspiration, because the aspiration always wants to rival to be first. Okay, that's what Satan wanted. Satan wanted to be first in the kingdom of God, and he rivaled all the other angels. All right, and he was in rivaling the other angels. He was in strife, envy, and emulation. This was right in the courts of God. This was right in heaven. Okay, whereas this particular behavior, okay, which Satan was exercising his sovereignty with, okay, was in direct contradiction of God's plan. And when it was direct contradiction of God's plan, God says, "You were perfect in a day that I created you until I found iniquity within you." God called that iniquity, okay, because it's the behavior, okay, of that of one's own oath, the behavior of one's own oath, that you want everything to orbit, okay, around, see, your perspective of life, okay, and that's not going to happen, not in this dimension, okay. So let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, or the projection of Adam's honor. That's vainglory, projection of Adam's honor. Okay, but in lowliness of mind, being humbled of grace, let all saints esteem and value Christ. other than themselves. See, other than themselves, that means by being of the flesh. So we value the things which are from above. And this is what Paul said again in Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, your life is hid with Christ. That has to do with the God code and faith, which equals his life. God code plus faith equals life. It's hid. It's concealed, okay, as concerning the carnal eye, but it's experienced with the spiritual eye. You can see it. Okay, so let each esteem other, which is Christ, better than themselves, being of flesh, as Jesus did himself. That's why Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I." As long as I am in this form of frailty, okay, that which is of the Spirit is the superior, okay, which is my Father. I call this that which is spiritual superior, and Jesus entitled that the Father. Okay, but as long as I am in this flesh, I am the inferior one. Okay, and we'll read about that as we go on. Look not every man his own things, verse 4. See, as don't covet or another's for strife. So look not every man on his own things, okay, as to covet these things, but every man also on the things of other, or every saint also on the sacrifices of others, as to build. We build by the oath of the Lord. Okay, and by this, okay, the powers of Satan's kingdom cannot overcome you, and that's what Jesus said himself. Okay, concerning Peter, okay, that the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, because as long as you're tethered to my oath, okay, everything that you do has substance of life granted to it, right? Hebrews 11:1, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Okay, so we can see that everything that's tethered to the oath of the Lord brings forth the substance of His light. Okay, everything that's tethered to the oath of the Lord brings forth the substance of His life. Okay, and light. So, but every man also thinks of others to build. Okay, when we're not building with the substance of God, then we are detracting from it, or we are stealing. And that's what Satan did. Satan took what God gave to him, okay, and turned it into another direction, okay, of building a kingdom for himself. That's why he's cast out of heaven. His entrance or citizenship is no longer signed there. Okay, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. Back in verse 5 again. Let this mind, which means let this humble perspective align you in the behavior with him, okay, which is in the bosom. Let this mind be in you, this behavior be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, which is in the bosom now. Okay, which we see that in the Gospel of John 1:18. Okay, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And that's what we're doing today. We are making a declaration of his record. He has declared him. We are making a declaration, okay, of his record today, that Jesus returned to the bosom of the Father, and that our behavior is tethered to him. And the knowledge which we speak is of his tutorship, of his angels. Okay, who being in the form of God. Now, I like the word form there in verse 6, which has to do with the bosom. Being in the bosom of his light. Okay, so he is the power, he is the will and power of God. Okay, we see that in 1 Corinthians. Who being the power and will of God. He is the initiator force. Sovereign, superior, sovereign of all creation. Okay, now God has granted a portion of this sovereignty in all vessels of flesh today. Okay, that's why we are as gods, because we possess a portion of that sovereignty within us. Okay, and God has put another power within us of his oath, so that we can make choice, okay, that we whether serve self or serve God. Okay, if we serve self, then our oath brings us to death. But if we serve God, then the oath which he puts within us, okay, becomes a habitation of his light. as we become, as Paul says, but you are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so being in the form of God as in his bosom, he thought not robbery to be equal with God. So he did not, it did not diminish nor devalue his person. Okay, that's what he says right here, thought not robbery to be equal with God. Because even though he took on a form less than the light, because being in the form of flesh, he took on that which is less than light. Okay, he did not covet the flesh, okay, nor did he detract, okay, from the plan of God. Okay, just because he was in the form of flesh, which he cursed, it did not detract from his sanctification. And just because he took on the form of the flesh, from light to flesh, okay, it did not detract his justification. Okay, because that's what Jesus said himself. Okay, that I sanctify myself, and through my sanctification, I sanctify you apostles. Okay, your stewardship stands within my oath, and all those that be joined to you are hubbed to me. Okay, so let's finish this up here. Okay, who being in the form of God, in the bosom of that light, though not robbery to be equal with God, is being the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He came into this dimension, but made himself of no reputation when he came in this dimension. When Jesus came into this dimension for our salvation, he took the form of flesh, okay, and also was impoverished, okay, which means born in the manger, okay, being impoverished. He took on him, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come down here as in great pomp as a king. He came down here as a suffering servant, according to Isaiah 53. Okay, now when we come back with him, we're to reign with him as in the ninth week of Enoch, okay, which is the millennium of Christ, the millennium paradise of Christ. Okay, he comes back as a reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, and we will come back and continue with him and bringing his knowledge, we establish his kingdom in this earth. But made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, which is that of a common man, and was made in the likeness of men, being restricted to faith and to suffering.